There you go. So, chapter 27, we get to, and, you know, Bob gave a little introduction there on Sunday, just that there's these curses and there's these blessings. And of course, God's kids, should be aiming for the blessing. It means behaving, doing as he's asked us to do, you know, and then there would be blessings. It's kind of the same thing as with our kids, right? If they obey our voice, there's a blessing in that, right? And of course the scriptures would back us up in that, but, the scripture often says that they would have, you know, through obedience, have longer life, right? Honor your parents, right? Honor your father and mother, because, you know, and then that promise of a longer life. And I think that is a, you know, you could say it's a peaceful life, right? It's a peaceful life. I always go back to obeying the laws of the land. Why should we obey the laws of the land? Well, first of all, God tells us to, unless they contradict his law. But, you know, if you think about it, if you're driving at, you know, 80 miles an hour down the expressway here, you find yourself looking in your mirrors a lot, trying to identify maybe them places of secret hiding, places of the cops, right? But you have your eyes out for them, you know. You're wondering, is somebody watching? And if you go 65, well, you don't have to worry about that. And I know nobody does, but I mean, if you, within reason, right, you don't worry about that. But anyways, God gives Moses these commands again, and it's almost, you know, like, now, remember, Moses from, this is his final days, right? This is his final days. He's getting them ready. You know, this is his pep talk. This is his motivational speaking, engaging Israel to go into the land, but there has to be a thrust for obedience. You know, throughout this whole book, it's been about obeying. You know, the commands of the Lord given to Moses, and then Moses gives them to the people. You know, so it's kind of a neat progression here. But if you think of chapter 4 through 26, you get this impression that he's just laying it down. You know, you could almost say almost like a deck of cards, right? Here's the king. Here's the queen. You know, you're getting right to that ace. The ace would be the promised land, where you just, you know, now it's time to go in. You know, you have all the instructions, but he gives you all these instructions. And what does he say here? It says, now Moses with the elders of Israel commanded the people, saying, keep all commandments which I command you today. So all this, remember everything that I've given you. And now, I want you to keep it. So Moses has equipped Israel with the word of God. And so why? So that they really, so that they can be effective in the land in which God's promised them. You know, I think about effective ministry. Effective ministry means that we pray to the Lord. We ask for guidance. He gives us guidance. We go in and we do ministry, right? Under his guidance, under his plan. We don't make it up as we go. That is what he's doing, I think, for Israel. Do you really want to be effective in the promised land? Do you want to really enjoy this place? And shouldn't we enjoy the things that the Lord gives us, right? So I think of all the things that the Lord gives us, even when, maybe when we're first born again, and he gives us some certain gifts, you know, spiritual gifts even, and or tangible gifts where we can say we have this talent and now we're going to use it for the Lord. And then for whatever reason, and you see this often, is for whatever reason, some people take their gifting that God really has blessed them with, and then all of a sudden it's theirs, and they start using it for their own glory, right? And I think that's the perspective that we have to kind of keep in mind, is that when we feel God has gifted us with something, it's for His glory, right? I think you said it maybe in the prayer there this morning. Feels like this morning, but this evening, where you said something of the sort, we're basically here for Him, right? We're to praise Him. We're not to say, "Hey, Fred, you know, good job," right? Or hey, Noah, that was great worship, you know. And people do that to you, but you got to take it as if God, you know, you have to hand that praise off to Him, right? Yeah, thank you. Thanks, but praise the Lord, you know, because it's to His glory, right? So here they get the word. They're going to be effective in the new promised land that the Lord has given them. So now what happens? Well, it's all about Moses now encouraging Israel, right? It's not enough that they have the book, right? It's not enough that we have the book, but that we open the book, that we read the book, that we partake of the book, that we bring it in, right? We hide it within our hearts. And then we do, right? So he goes on, he says, "Keep all the commandments that I commanded you today. And it shall be on the day when you cross over the Jordan to the land which the Lord your God has given you, and that you shall set up for yourself large stones and whitewash them with linen." Or with lime, I'm sorry. Whitewash them. Yeah, put linens over the top of them, I guess. No, just whitewash them with lime, right? I remember, you know, back home they used to spread lime on the ground to make it fertile. You had to be careful. They used to take it and put it in the barns, in where they kept the cows and stuff. Why? Because it cleaned it. It got down to the, you know, got all the nasties kind of off the floor of the barn, you know, if you really wanted to give it a thorough cleaning. But on the day you crossed the Jordan, there was this, almost like a light switch, you know, that was the light switch. When you cross the Jordan to the land that the Lord, you know, keeping the Lord first, keeping the understanding that God gave them this land, you know, sometimes we take care of possessions that somebody else has given you. You ever had that possession where you're like, you know, my Uncle Joe, he gave me this, so I want to keep that pristine. I don't want to spill coffee on it. I don't want to do any of those things, right? And so when you look at this, you think, well, the Lord has granted them and given this to them, that they're passing over the switch is on now. They're passing over the Jordan. Don't you dare forget that the Lord gave you this land. It was a gift from the Lord. That you shall set up for yourself large stones and whitewash them with lime. And so the purpose of whitewashing them was to what? To make sure that all the word of God was seen by those that looked at those stones, right? They were to be plastered on there. They were to be written on there, you know. And it was for all, so that all would, for one thing, they wouldn't have an excuse, right? Everybody could see this. Yeah, and so remember too that, you know, James would encourage us too to be doers of the word. The scriptures even would encourage us to put the word of God in front of us, right, on their forelets and so forth. And it was a, It was because that's how important the Word of God is, to have it before us, but it was also important for us to do it, be doers of the Word. You shall write on them all the words, verse 3, of this law, when you have crossed over, that you may enter the land which the Lord your God has given you, a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord God of your fathers promised you. In that verse there, all the words of the law, you know, every single one seem to be important. You know, it seems to be a common thing nowadays to take scripture and just use it as you would have fit for your desires to soothe you, you know. But all the words of the Lord was giving them through Moses was important, not to leave any out. They would cross over, and so the first thing that they would do was that they would, this was pivotal in their success, but the first thing that they would do is write all these words of this law. Why was that? Because we soon forget. As soon as we get done celebrating, we passed over the Jordan, you know, and now we've forgotten the law in which God gave us, you know, them last 40 days of Moses' life, and Moses who? You know, and so, verse 4, therefore it shall be when you cross over the Jordan that on Mount Ebal you shall set up these stones, which I command you today, and you shall whitewash them with lime. And there you shall build an altar to the Lord your God, an altar of stones. You shall not use an iron tool on them. You shall build with whole stones on the altar of the Lord your God, and offer burnt offerings on it to the Lord your God. You shall offer peace offerings and shall eat there and rejoice before the Lord your God. And you shall write very plainly on the stones all the words of this law. Very plainly, very legibly, so that it cannot be mistaken for anything but God's word, God's law there. So the place that they would set up this altar was Mount Ebal. They would whitewash it. They would make it bright so that folks could see it. They wouldn't be able to miss it. You know, anything we can do, you know, to make the word more visible, I guess, more understandable. You know, I know the Holy Spirit has the work in that, but, you know, we're not to cloud it with our personal interpretation, but we're to make God's word simply clear, right? What did Pastor Chuck always say? Do you remember? He said, teach the word, simply teach the word simple. Right? Simply, or something like that. I probably misquoted him even then, but it was something of that sort. It means just make it so that people understand. Because sometimes I think we want to, you know, and I do, I'm sure I do it too, where we want to make sure that people get the Greek words and the Hebrew words and the Aramaic words and all these different, right? And that's fine and dandy. But let's make sure that it doesn't cloud their vision in such a sense that they get lost in the details, you know, and so make it so it stands out. And they would build this altar. The altar was a place, of course, for them to offer up offerings and sacrifices, peace offerings often, you know, that had to do with fellowship there and with God and with their fellow believer. But it was also a place, this altar was also a place where God provided the altar. Man didn't build it. Man doesn't build the worship center. God builds it. You know, God orchestrates it, right? They were not to form the rocks, you know, into what they saw fit, you know, this sculpture of their favorite animal or whatever. They weren't to sculpture it into some, you know, some fancy dancy kind of thing that they could look back and say, ah, they could sit back and say, ah, you know who did this, don't you? You're looking at them, you know, kind of thing, right? They take the glory. So it was in a sense to, so that God would receive the glory. Because why? Because he formed it. He formed all these rocks, all the rocks that they put together and created this altar. It was something that God created. It wasn't them. So, and I think we need to be careful, you know, like we said before, is that we got to be careful not to lift up, certain people's skills, you know, over other talents. Because you know what? God builds us just right. And I've heard people say, boy, I wish I could play the guitar, you know, for instance, like Pastor John, right? Or, you know, when we went to Katrina one time, we stopped at a Calvary Chapel down in West Virginia, and there was a guy that worked for Gibson into Nashville. He knew a lot of the pastor actually at this West Virginia church, and he knew a lot of the stars that came through there. He would fit them with guitar. His dad was in a bluegrass band. This guy could play Circles Around Pastor John. Don't tell Pastor John I said, but he probably already knew it. But it was a pretty amazing. And part of you said, "Gee, I wish I could play like that," right? But you know what? God makes us different. He makes us different for a purpose. Because just think, if we were all alike, we'd probably be annoyed with each other, right? A lot more than we are. But yeah, you know. But we look at somebody like that and we say, praise the Lord that he's using his talent that way. Or praise the Lord that he's skilled enough to play and lead people in worship, or whatever that special gift is, you know. I think of some pastors that speak that I really like, and some of the things that they share and how they share them and the way they share them. And I'm like, Lord, you know, why can't I be so eloquent? Why can't I speak so eloquently? You know why I can't? Because I can't. I grew up in West Amboy, the foot of the rednecks. And that's who I am, right? Karen said the other day, she said I was way before my time. I could have been the comedian there that always made the redneck jokes. Foxworthy, yeah. She said I was way before my time. I was really the first redneck. That's what she was saying, I think. I don't know. Maybe. But anyways, but I think we got to keep it conscious that we give him the glory for all this. And so this altar was built out of the hands of God and not out of man's hand. And then in chapter 8 of Joshua, this would be fulfilled, where they would actually create this altar here, where God would create the altar that he told them to build. So verse 9, then Moses and the priests, the Levites, spoke to all Israel, saying, take heed and listen, O Israel. This day You have become the people of the Lord your God. Therefore, you shall obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today. So when we look at Deuteronomy in general terms, it is written in a sense, it is written in a pattern that is the king speaking to his subordinates. The king would be telling his subordinates, do this, obey this. Here's the command of the king, you know, follow my command. And of course, the king would be God and the subordinates would be Israel. And so when we think of it in this way, even here it says, take heed and listen. You know, who's taking heed? Or Israel. Taking heed to what? Taking heed to the Lord your God. Why? Because they're his people. You know. And we could say the same thing for us because we've been grafted in. We're his people. Why would we take heed? Why would we listen? You know. Just think. There's been many in the past that I've heard that have spent hours just before the Lord listening for his voice. And today we have a hard time just listening. You ever notice that? We have a lot to say, but we have a hard time just, Lord, what do you want to say to me? You know, Lord, I need this today. I need that today. And I need the other thing. Amen. And sometimes we walk away and he says, hey, wait a minute. Take heed and listen, O Israel. This day you have become the people of the Lord. And I think that is salvation right there. We become his. When we become his, there's a possession there. He possesses us. And it is because we're his people, we obey his voice and we observe his commandments and his statutes, right? That's why we do it, because we're his. It's an expectancy. I'm going to pay the penalty for sin upon the cross. I'm going to purchase you. And guess what? The expectation here is that you will obey. That's why there's a conflict in interest when someone says, well, I got saved when I was a teen. And we go, well, then why are you living the lifestyle that you're living? Well, God's love, man. God's forgiving. Yeah, but if you're his people, he owns you. Therefore, you obey his ways. Now, that doesn't say that we're not going to sin, we're not going to fall short, right? We're not going to have to repent, right? There's them struggles of the flesh. We're going to have to confront those. But the bottom line is that our life should be a life of obedience. It shouldn't imitate something that it's not supposed to imitate, right? When we're born again, we're made in his image. We're a new creation. Old things are passed away. You know, and I believe that's true. Verse 11, and Moses commanded the people the same day, saying, These shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people. When you have crossed over the Jordan, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these shall stand on Mount Ebal, to curse Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali. So they would enter the promised land here, and in the midst of the promised land, you know, is this location of Mount Gerizim and Ebal. Gerizim was the blessing for the obedient, and Ebal was the curse for those, obviously, that disobeyed. And when we then we see the this fulfillment here in Joshua chapter 8 again, we see the fulfillment of this. You know, Joshua comes to his senses and says, hey, guys, let's not detour. Let's not detour God's commands. Let's follow after God. Remember, this was after this bitter defeat at Ai, where he kind of took it into his own hands and went into battle and sorrowfully lost, right? So now Joshua comes out of that and he says, I've learned my lesson. Shouldn't we be like this? I learned my lesson. I'm never doing that again. Let's follow the Lord, right? We get detoured. We go out on our own paths. We think this is right because it all adds up and God's got a different economy. And guess what? What we thought was right way to go, it wasn't the right way to go. Why? Because I think one reason why is because of going back in that scripture that says take heed and listen. We don't take heed and listen. We think the simplest thing could be decided by us. Right. Oh, come on. What, this isn't a big decision here. Come on. Right. So you make it on your own. But why here? You know, why at Mount Gerizim and Ebal? Well, why there? Well, it was kind of a amphitheater kind of place where, you know, you get that effect and people could listen. Right? People could hear that. And it was in the middle of the promised land. It was in the middle. So it wasn't like they just crossed the Jordan and then they stumbled upon these two mountains. It was kind of central. Meaning that they had to gain control of these high places. These high places in the Canaanite land there to experience this. And plus, you know, these mountains were to make an imprint into the minds of Israel, right? I mean, Gerizim was a flourishing mountain. It had gardens and wonderful springs and different orchards there. It carried the picture of what was a blessing to them, right? What was a blessing to them. Where if you look at Ebal, you think there of a barren place. It was a barren place, and so therefore the curses would be there. And so now in verse 14, through the end of the chapter, really, it speaks of the curses. I'll just read through them quickly here. It says, and the Levites shall speak with a loud voice and say to all men of Israel, cursed is the one who makes a carved or molded image, idolaters, right? An abomination to the Lord, the work of the hand of the craftsman. And set it up in secret. Interesting that he covers this first. Because he says, I want you to cross the Jordan. I want you to build an altar. And I want you to build it with my rocks, my stone, right? My handcrafted stone. I don't want your paws on it, right? Because what happens when we put our paws on things, it becomes idolatry. It leads right to idolatry. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Kind of a Pentecostal thing here. You know, the Levites were, shall speak with a loud voice, and the people say, Amen! This was the first Pentecostal church, probably. No, I'm just teasing. Cursed is the one who treats his father and mother with contempt. So, dishonoring, going against the commandments, commandment of the Lord. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who moves his neighbor's landmarks, or in other words, steals, right? And they're thieves. And all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is the one who makes the blind wander off the road. It's just cruel, you know? It's just cruel. I told my kids this, so I'm not hiding it in secret, but when I was in college, we did a faith walk. And I had this girl, and I was doing a faith walk, and I thought it would be funny to, you know, walk her into a, you know, she was blindfolded, right? Walk her into a light pole. Well, let me tell you, the friendship wasn't very good after that. I thought it was really funny, right? But it wasn't. It's kind of cruel. It's like when our neighbors, our city slicker neighbors, moved into our barn, right? They bought our barn with 100 acres. They renovated the barn. It became a entertainment center in a sense. They used to have like dinners there and stuff, and it was pretty cool. But when they first moved here, they were naive as can be, and we kind of caught on to it in a hurry. And so we'd go out, and you know, we had electric fence around our pastures for the horses, and I remember going up to the electric fence, and my sister, she was really the instigator. But she was in the barn with the electric fencer. And as I went up to it, I said, you don't have to be afraid of this. And I just grabbed a hold of it, and she would pull the plug, right? And I wouldn't get electrocuted. And no harm. So she'd plug it back in, and the neighbors would go, you know. It was kind of fun, but it was cruel. It was cruel, so I would have been cursed by back then. There's all my dirty sins revealed to you guys tonight. And all the people said, Amen. Cursed is the one who perverts the justice due the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow. Don't, you know. Something about taking care of those that are in misfortune. And all the people say Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his wife's, or with his father's wife, because he has uncovered his father's bed. And all the people said Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with any animal, and all the people shall say Amen. Cursed is the one who lies with his sister, the daughter of his father, or the daughter of his mother. All the people said Amen. There's something about, you know, these curses that you know, there's something about purity in this that God was trying to get. You know, why is he saying these curses? Why doesn't he give us some blessing here? Well, you know, I think he does. I think he does through the curses. There's blessing on the other side if we don't do what he's saying not to do. Cursed is the one who lies with his mother-in-law. And all the people said Amen. Cursed is the one who attacks his neighbor secretly. And all the people said Amen, because they were the neighbors. They didn't want to be attacked, right? Cursed is the one who takes a bribe to slay an innocent person. And all the people said Amen. Cursed is the one who does not confirm all the words of this law by observing them. And all the people said Amen. So the Levites spoke here in a loud voice so everybody could hear all the curses. The altars were set up at Ebal, and the mount there of curse. That's interesting. Why? Because we've all been cursed. You know, when it comes down to it, you know, We need an altar. We need an atoning sacrifice, right? And of course, none other than the sufficient atoning sacrifice is Christ. And all the curses due to our unrighteousness was put on Him, you know. And I'm just going to finish with Galatians 3:10. 3:10 verses 10 through 14. It says, "So as many as are of the work of the law are under the curse, for it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.' But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them." Christ was redeemed, has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, "Cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." So, all these curses. Why did He mention all these curses? It was a foreshadow, really, of everything that was going to be placed upon the perfect Lamb of God on that cross. And it should set in our minds that, you know, even though we are so blessed to be forgiven, there's a lot that was put upon the Lord Jesus on that cross, you know. And so, let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your goodness. Thank You, Father, for Your word. Ask You, Lord, just to have Your way with us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to take heed, to listen, to follow You, Lord, to do those commandments, Father, in which You have laid out before us, Lord, that we get to obey You. It shouldn't be a bondage, but a privilege that we have, because You have purchased us with a very costly purchase of Your Son. And so we don't take that lightly, Lord. We want to live for You. We want to do what is right and upright in Your eyes, Lord. So lead us and guide us, Lord, beyond this place, and help us, Lord, to keep our eyes upon Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.